cowboy's riding along a trail in the Old West and sees an Indian lying on his stomach with his ear to the ground. As he gets closer, he hears the Indian saying to himself, "Wagon, two gray horses, two passengers, man and woman, man driving." The cowboy goes up to the Indian and says, "Wow, you can tell all that by just putting your ear to the ground?" And he replies, "No. Wagon passed half hour ago. Run me over." Welcome to week four of our series in Proverbs. We have been talking about the path you want to be on, or at least we should be on. 29 times the book of Proverbs mentions the path or paths that we should be on. Here's just a few. In Proverbs 1, Solomon is warning us about buddying up with people with questionable morals. What do you think he says? He says this, "My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths." In other words, that's the wrong path to be on. Amen? Yep. In Proverbs 2, he talks about following the way of wisdom. And he says this, "Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path those of us want to take." Amen? Amen. A couple weeks ago, we looked at Proverbs 3. Do you remember what that one was? Anybody? Going once? All right, I'll show you. "Trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge or submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." And then in Proverbs 4, he adds a supplemental, if you will, principle to what we've been talking about or learning so far. He says this, "Give careful thought," in Proverbs 4:26, "give careful thought to the path for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways." And in other words, you can say it this way, make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Take level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Now, if you've been with us for all or most of the series, you know that the principle that we've been looking at or talking about is not only true in geography, but true in real life as well. You know, I talked about going up 75, you're not going to find yourself in California, you find yourself at the bridge. It's just that simple. The principle is this, your direction determines your destination. Your direction determines your destination. But today I want to just add a little summons qualifier, if you will, to the statement, to one slight modification, if you will, that I think is true as well, and that is this. What gets your attention determines your direction and ultimately our destination. What gets your attention determines your direction and ultimately our destination. In other words, your attention determines your direction. Your attention determines your direction. Think about it. Not too long ago, almost every state in the nation made a law. That law was you have to have some kind of hands-free device for your phone. You can't no longer talk on the phone or while driving. You've got to have a hands-free device so you can talk to the phone safely while driving. Now, why did they do that? Because they knew that if a person is staring at their phone, they might steer into somebody else, steer off the road themselves. I mean, just whatever. They might just get the wrong idea. The phone, the text, it becomes a distraction. So to get rid of that potential or that idea that you can do that, they put a law saying don't do that. Matter of fact, in Canada, if you go through Canada, they have a law you can't even be the passenger side talking on your phone or texting on your phone. You've got to actually have be in the back seat They don't have the driver even be distracted that far. So, I mean, they understand the distraction part. They understand that you can get distracted so easy. We've already got enough distracted drivers.
Right.
Amen. Amen. So what you give your attention to will determine your direction, and your direction will determine your destination. Honestly, we have known that throughout our lifetime. Solomon talked about 3,000 years ago in the book of Proverbs. Here's the whole statement we're going to look at. I mentioned 4:26 earlier. Here's the whole statement. So in verse 25, he says this: "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." Solomon says that. In other words, our destination is determined by our direction, and our direction is dictated by whatever takes our attention, whatever holds our attention. Truth is, the things that capture your attention will influence your direction in life, in driving, and whatever. It's like the other day, I was coming back from my sister's house yesterday and just had to go practice shooting. So I'm going to go try to shoot a deer on Tuesday and haven't shot in like 25 years. And so I had to go practice at his house to see how it was. So we come back and we're coming down the road, and all of a sudden I saw a bald eagle. Joy saw it first. I didn't. So I turned around because I wanted to go take some pictures of the bald eagle. I mean, my attention was put on the bald eagle in this cornfield. Somebody else was watching the same thing. They saw it, and they turned around and did the same thing. They wanted to shoot the picture. And so your attention will often get you to go to where you want to go. My attention was at that bald eagle. Wasn't on getting home at that moment. It was, let's take some pictures and see if I can get close enough to shoot some pictures of this beautiful creature. And so the truth is that sometimes the things that capture our attention will influence our direction. The eagle caught my attention. It influenced my direction. I turned around twice to go see this eagle. In my own life, there was a girl that captured my attention once. I started spending my time dreaming of ways I could capture her attention. My attention was so diverted by her that we now have people walking around that we created because both our directions were changed. Maybe you've met her.
We love her.
Now, that's a positive example of how attention influences us, influences direction. But there are so many negative things that want to grab our attention as well. So many negative things want to grab our attention and take our attention away as well. You're like every principle. This principle of attention can work for us or against us. You know, the eagle worked for me. I was able to turn around, make sure no tracks come in. But there's also something that will work against us.
Did you get good pictures?
I mean, we got a few. Okay. Think for a moment. Think for a moment. I'm sure you're probably able to drum up a half a dozen instances where your attention got diverted in ways you wish it never did. You're scrolling through Facebook and all of a sudden look up and say, boy, where'd all the time go? Your attention got diverted by a simple social media thing. Author Andy Stanley writes this: "All of us have people or events or opportunities in our past that reflect the much more frequent flip side. Looking back, there are people you wish you had never met, relationships you wish you'd never initiated, numbers you wish you'd never called, voicemail you wish you'd never acknowledged, business opportunities you wish you had ignored. Life was better before these things grabbed your attention. In many cases, the path you were on before they came along was the path you should have adhered to. but you didn't. And what grabbed your attention altered your direction. You may have even had this mental conversation that went something like this. Wow. Would you look at that? I probably shouldn't go there. But perhaps I should just check out to make sure I shouldn't go there. Yep. Shouldn't go there. Oh, come on, man. Just focus. Okay. Going there. What's going to hurt if I just go there once? Have I said that before? Mm-hmm. It probably won't hurt to just go there just for a moment. And then you find yourself addicted to or attracted to that place you knew you shouldn't have gone to begin with. Remember when common sense seemed to get railroaded by the emotion of whatever or whoever it was that grabbed your attention? Before you know it, you are moving in an entirely different direction altogether than you were to begin with. Usually, there's a strong emotional appeal to things that grab our attention. We get sucked into those detours because something emotionally triggered us, engaged us into those paths that we chose. Advertisers, they make a living on trying to grab our attention. And that's okay. Everyone needs to live and eat, and so I get that. I mean, that's how they make business. I understand that. But great advertisers, great ones, they appeal to our emotions. Let's face it. Door-to-door salesmen in automobile dealerships are not emotionally neutral environments. You know, they're sometimes pressured. Sometimes, I mean, they're trying to get to our emotions. You, it looks so good, you know, having this in your home. No one else in your neighborhood has something like that. I mean, just whatever. It's like they draw us. They that's what their job is. They capture us. There are times that the things that grab our attention may lead us into some regret. What captures our attention influences our direction always. What captures our attention influences our decisions, our direction always. Attention, direction, destination. That's the principle in three words. As your attention goes, so goes your life. Or as Solomon says it, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. So far we've placed two verbs in front of attention. One is positive, something that captures our attention. One is negative, something that grabs our attention. Captures and grabs. Two different words, two different things. I want to give you two more verbs that may be a little more useful to us when it comes to your attention. But first, let me read this a little more from Andy. He says this. He says, I have a black lab whose attention seems to be genetically locked in on food. When it comes to food, I don't think Shadow really has a choice. It seems as if she can't help but follow a food-related scent. This has sent her in some not-so-pleasant pleasure directions. As you might be aware, people like to give their pastors food. Actually, food and ties. But I really wear a tie, so you get lots of food. Especially at Christmas. People are generous and gracious. They bring large quantities of food to our doorstep. But they don't want to bother us by ringing the doorbell or even knocking, so they just leave things by the front door. Or so they say. We don't know for sure because we don't get to see what they brought. We just get to see traces of what they brought. We know someone has brought us a perishable gift because there are usual bits of paper and ribbon scattered around the front lawn. When we are able to locate a card, we write a thank you note, but we are always vague because we aren't even sure what we are saying thank you for. Maybe we should ask Shadow to write the notes. If you're a dog person, you've probably heard that chocolate and caffeine will kill your dog. Not true. It will keep her up late at night, but it won't kill her. At least that's been our experience. So according to Andy, Shadow doesn't have or seem to have this choice about where she focuses her attention. But unlike the animal kingdom, we have a choice. We do not have to be ruled by the things that grab or capture our attention. You get to choose where your attention goes. You get to choose what you give your attention to. You get to choose where you want to apply your attention. Which leads me to the two verbs I want to give you. I want to share with you. Besides grab your attention and capture attention, you can choose to give your attention. You can choose to pay attention. Choose to give attention. You can choose to pay attention. Here's the key. Emotions tend to fuel the things to grab or capture our attention. Intentionality tends to fuel the things that we give or pay attention to. If we're intentional about something, we want to give or pay attention. We want to make sure we have that. So on every path that leads to disaster or destruction, there is something powerful and emotionally engaging that summoned us, that grabbed or captured our attention. Which is why Solomon writes, "Let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you, give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." That's why Solomon wrote that. He understands that things try to grab and capture our attention. He was wise enough to understand that when those things try to grab, they will take you in directions you may not want to always go. Make a choice. Choose whose direction you will go, which one you want to go, and then fix your gaze directly on it. What you give your attention to determines your direction, and the direction you have or head in determines your destination. So I want to ask you a very important question. Very pertinent question. What has your attention these days? What has your attention these days? A relationship? A career? A house? Enjoyable pastime, there's a person who's leading you somewhere you don't really want to go, a person who's leading you towards where you do not want to go. Is it a marriage? Is it your children, your faith? Is it an achievement of some sort you're wanting to accomplish? What is it that has your attention these days? What captures or grabs your attention? Because what you choose to pay or give attention to will determine your direction. And your direction will determine your destination. So here's a second question, a follow-up question to that one. What do you want to have your attention? What do you want to have your attention? If you could only fix your eyes on one thing, what would it be? The Apostle Paul describes this approach in this way. He says, brothers and sisters, verse 13 and 14 first. We'll get that one in a minute. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Then he follows up by saying this, All of us, then, who are mature should take such a view of things. The author of Hebrews says this. This is why it is so crucial that we be all the more engaged and attentive to the truths that we have heard, so that we do not drift off course. Joy, would you come? I'm going to finish up pretty quick here, I think. I'll have a little bit more, but just soft in the background. I'm going to be another maybe 6, 7, 8 minutes or so, but maybe for some of you today, you've drifted away from the faith for a while and you wonder how that happened. It simply happened because of the principle of attention. Your eyes, your attention followed something other than God, and it wound up drifting away from God. So the same author says this. Here's what we need you to stay on this. You want to know how to stay on the spiritually path, on the spiritual path in a good way? Here's what he says. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I like that verb, fix. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't swerve to the right or to the left. Don't let your eyes wander. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Can I offer a suggestion? Just one? Can I give you a little suggestion? Don't let your heart or your attention be captured by lesser things. There's so many things less. Oh, so much less. Everything's less than Jesus. Focus your attention on Jesus, on following him, getting to know him better, serving him fully, becoming more and more like him every day that we live. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the perfecter of our faith. In the early days of Christianity, there was a lot of persecution. When persecutions were just beginning, really. And there's an unknown saint who wrote a song that described really well the path that Jesus took. He said this. The song goes like this. Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider it equality with God, something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And the Apostle Paul put that little song in his epistle to the Philippi church, because he realized, he thought it was important enough that everyone know that one day every person will bow down before Jesus. No matter where their path had taken them, they're going to bow down to Jesus. Remember a couple weeks ago, we learned that the prudent sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the price, the penalty. So here's a danger I hope you see. If you pursue anything less than Jesus, anything less than Jesus, you may end up bowing to Jesus from a destination you never really hoped to be at.
That's a good one.
Which is why Hebrews 12:2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the path to heaven. He is the path to fulfillment. He is the path to purpose. He is the path where you want to go. Here's what he said. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In other words, the way is the path. He said, I'm the path. If you want to get to see me, if you want to see the Father face to face, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. That's what he says. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Because whatever you give your attention to will determine your direction. And whatever direction you head will always determine or will determine where you wind up. You have a choice. You can follow Jesus, or you can follow something else. You can follow something less. You can let your attention be grabbed by something that feels good for a moment, or you can give your attention to one who will direct your paths all the days of your life into eternity. Which path will you choose? Somebody here, you know, may have never chosen Jesus before. Someone watching online, not watching online, may never chose before. Maybe you'd like to choose him today. Some may have decided to follow Jesus a long, long time ago, and then something grabbed our attention, captured our attention by something or someone else. Today would be a good day to correct that. Today's the day to say Jesus is the Lord of my life and my God, in whom I take refuge. He is the one who is and who is to come, the Almighty. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I no longer want to serve any other gods before him. I want to fix my eyes on Jesus. We have one more message in this series. One more week. And then we're going to sort of kick right into the Christmas season and move into that. And looked all out. So we started the Christmas, the 27th will end up on Christmas Eve evening. So it turned out that 5 weeks right there. So one more week of this series and we'll finish up. So come back next week because it's an important one. I want to talk to you next week about what you do when you realize there is a road closed sign on your path and you won't be able to reach the destination you're hoping to reach. Maritally, mentally, physically, spiritually, whatever, in some way, whatever it might be. And before we meet next week, take some time this week to fix your eyes on Jesus. When you get up each morning, each day, just talk to him. Spend a few minutes alone with him. Read Proverbs, read some scripture, just something. Just make sure you allow Jesus to be part of your day. Allow him to be in your day, every day. Because our attention can be grabbed and captivated by so many things that are not what God wants us to be captivated and grabbed by. So it's time we learn to just trust in him, lean not on our own understanding, but always acknowledge him, for then he directs our paths. So Father, today we come before your throne. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your love, for everything you've done for us. I pray, God, that we just learn to allow you to be first and foremost in our life. Everything we do, God, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. We honor you in all we do, God. We give you glory and honor and praise for everything within us. Bring us back next week, God, to learn about the roadblocks, the stop signs, the things that happen that we just seem like we can't get through. God, help us to see all that you have for us. As we get ready to go into the advocacies, God, I just pray you just move in a mighty way that you'll help us, God, to really focus on you. We thank you for it. We give you the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. The church said.